Hey everyone, we are starting a new series today about faith. And we're going to ask ourselves, what if faith isn't so much a leap of faith or a blind leap as it is a steady climb? And what if the measure of our faith is less about how much faith we have and far more about how we use the faith we have or where we place the faith we have? In this series, we're going to explore what it means to have faith, what faith is for, and all that even a little faith can do. And by the way, it is a lot. A little faith can do a whole lot. In times of testing, our faith is the first thing to stretch. When things get difficult or unpredictable or maddening, where and in whom we've placed our faith becomes evident. When a storm rises and it comes over the horizon, it begins rocking our boat, our fear to faith ratio quickly gets calculated. And that's exactly where we meet the disciples and Jesus in Luke chapter 8. That's where we're going to be spending the rest of our time together, in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 22. We're going to move through this story in three scenes. Here's scene number one. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." So they got into the boat and they set out. As they sailed, he fell asleep. A squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. And they were in great danger, it says. Let's move through this and begin to find ourselves in it. One day, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's go over to the other side of the lake." Now, when we read lake, it's a big lake. In fact, it was a small sea. It's called the Sea of Galilee. I've been on it. It's pretty substantial. When Jesus says, "Let's go to the other side," he's talking about a pretty big task. It's going to demand some effort. It's going to demand some focus. But this is what Jesus says: "Let's go over to the other side." This is a great moment for us to pause and ask ourselves, what has Jesus said to us? Well, I can think of some things that Jesus has said to us as his disciples. He told us to go into all the world. He said he'd be with us always. He said, "I've come that you'll have life and have it to the full." He said, "Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you'll find." He said, "If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit." He said, "As I have loved you, so you must love one another." He said, "You'll know the truth, and that truth will set you free." He said that we'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on us, and that we will be his witnesses. He also said, "Peace I leave with you." This is what Jesus says to them: "Let's go to the other side of the lake." So they got into a boat, it says, and they set out. They took Jesus at his word. They did what Jesus said. And then the story takes a weird turn, at least to me. As they sailed, he fell asleep. I love this because I think it really illuminates something about what life with Jesus is like. They sailed, he fell asleep. I can't help but wonder if this is kind of a testing moment for the disciples. They're busy and they are executing what their Lord and Master has said. We're going to see here in this part of the story that it's enough for Jesus to simply be in our boats. As we begin to navigate whatever it is the Lord has put in front of us, we need to ask ourselves, is Jesus with us? The answer is yes, and that yes is enough. See, I love the fact that Jesus is not giving them precise instruction. Adjust 3 degrees to the north, or bring the sail starboard, or whatever the kinds of things that might need to be said. Jesus is letting them do what he told them to do. He said what was going to happen: "Let's go to the other side of the lake." You and I may have to do a lot of paddling, and what Jesus has told us to do, or even some bailing, as we'll soon see. But listen, Jesus is in our boat. And he said, we're heading to the other side. We can rest in that. He certainly is. Well, now we read that the story gets tense. It says a squall came down on the lake so that the boat was being swamped. Anyone feel like this word right here? Swamped? That's a word that probably feels pretty familiar to us right now. And it says that they were in great danger. Now, Matthew and Mark, as they tell the story, they even referred to the squall or the storm as furious. This was a substantial storm that's happening. The Sea of Galilee sits in a basin geographically, and there are mountains all around it. And so what was very normal to happen was that cool air would come off the Mediterranean up and over those mountains and then hit the warm, wet air above that lake, and it would create storms. And that seems to be what's happening here, like a pop-up serious thunderstorm. Storms were not uncommon, but these disciples, some of them were experienced fishermen. So being on the lake, even being on the lake in a storm, was not new to them. But this must have been pretty serious for them to describe it as furious and themselves as in great danger. I don't need to tell you, storms happen. Storms happen in my life and in yours, and right now a storm, so to speak, is happening in what feels like all our lives. They happen. Jesus is in the boat. The disciples seem to lose sight of this, though, for just a second. And now we go to the next scene in our story. They go to him, it says, and they wake him. Master, Master, we're going to drown. Jesus, it says, gets up, rebukes the wind and the raging waters. The storm subsided, it says, and all was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. So as the storm comes and the disciples begin to panic, it says they find Jesus and they wake him up. Master, Master, we're going to drown. This, we know it full well. It feels very familiar to us. This is the feeling and the voice of fear. We've all heard the clever but inspiring saying that fear knocked on the door, faith answered, and no one was home. This is what the apostles are experiencing. They're deep in fear. They're deep in the water. They're deep in the storm. And they wonder if Jesus is paying any attention at all. In fact, in Mark, they even ask him, Teacher, don't you care that we drown? Don't you care if we drown? What were these disciples seeing? They were seeing everything through a lens of fear. Don't you care if we even drown? Master, Master, we're going to drown. What were they seeing? Were they seeing only the empty shelves at the grocery store? Were they seeing only the most dire headlines in their newsfeed? They were so focused on the storm, they forgot who was in their boat. So friends, listen. Let's not forget who's in our boat. Faith causes us to see things differently, through a different lens, not the lens of fear, but the lens of faith. We see a storm as something that comes and one day passes. What matters most is who's in our boat. In Hebrews 11:1, I'll let you look this up, we read that faith is being sure of what we hope for and, catch this, certain of what we do not see. What we do not see. Faith provides us certainty regarding things that to our senses seem so uncertain. Though our physical eyes may look and see nothing of God and an invisible or spiritual supernatural reality, our eyes of faith, they inform us that there is much more to this world and to this life than what meets the eye. Seeing everything, seeing even our current situation through eyes of faith will diminish and reduce fear and produce hope. In fact, the term blind faith is really a misnomer when you think about it. Faith doesn't make me blind, nor do I need to be blind to the facts to have faith. In fact, faith lets me see, really see, fully see. At first reading, as we get to this part of the account, we may not see ourselves in it. I'd venture to guess very few of us have been caught in a sudden storm that swamps a boat and as we're trying to get to the other side of a lake. But is this story really so unfamiliar? Could we not write our own accounts of what we see happening here? Your new business venture was full of hope and promise, but the market turned, or your partner bailed, or an employee embezzled money. Either way, the debt is piling up, the creditors are taking you to court, and you wonder if you'll be able to keep the house. Master, master, we're going to drown. Trying to keep work and family and health and all your other commitments balanced, but each category only seems to be increasing in its demands. School meetings, new projects from the boss, keeping that last 5 pounds off, and your inbox of email fills faster than ever before. Master, master, we're going to drown, we feel like saying. It could be a life-shaking diagnosis from the doctor. It could be your spouse admitting infidelity. It could be discovering that your child has an addiction or being let go from a job that you love. Master, master, it feels like I'm drowning. It could be a new virus that reaches pandemic proportions, and it seems like everything's canceled, and cabin fever is setting in, and it's only day 2 or 3. Master, master, we are going to drown. At least that's what we feel like saying. That's what the disciples said. They focused on the storm, they forgot who was in their boat, and they were convinced that they were near death. We're going to drown. Here's what happens next. The storm, he got up, it says, and he rebuked the wind and the raging waters. Mark has him actually speaking out loud. Quiet, he said. Be still. And the storm subsided, and all was calm. I feel like we should just say those three words out loud together. All was calm. All was calm. Where is your faith? He asked his disciples. Matthew and Mark even have him adding the question, why are you so afraid? Why are you so afraid? He asks, where is your faith? Our answer to the question, where is your faith, will be really determined by our answer to the question, who is this? But more on that in just a minute. When we go through circumstances that make us feel as the disciples did, master, master, we're going to drown. I feel in each of these instances that I can see and hear Jesus turn to me and to you and say with love in his eyes, perhaps a little prodding in his voice, where is your faith? He doesn't deny the reality that it looks like the boat is getting swamped. He just simply cuts to what's most important and most essential in the situation. Where is your faith? If we were honest, we'd say that often our faith is in our money or our abilities or our jobs, perhaps even the government. But in the end, all of these make terrible life preservers. Where is your faith? He asks. As the storm has subsided and all is calm. This takes us to the last scene in our story. In fear and amazement, it says, they asked one another, who is this? He commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him. See, faith worth having is found in our answer to this question the disciples asked each other, who is this? Who is Jesus to you? I pray and I hope that he is the Lord of the storm in your heart, in your mind, and in mine too. And I hope that with full authority, he says in my mind, in yours, in my heart, in yours, that we have given him the authority to say, quiet, be still. That in his lordship over our lives, we have given him full reign to make everything calm. Storms come and go, but with Jesus in our boat, we get to the other side. The way we move through life with grace and with courage is found in our faith and where we place it. Friends, I had this topic and this sermon series on the calendar long before I'd ever heard the word coronavirus. What we need to know today and every day is that faith in Jesus makes all the difference. Christians, you and I, as disciples of Jesus, should be the ultimate optimists, that we can be people full of hope, not because we're somehow denying reality, but that we are embracers of the ultimate, of full reality, that storms come and go, but how we navigate them, who's in our boat, who we are, and how we love, those are the things that are going to matter most. Let's pray about that. Father, we ask that you would help each of us as we're considering what the disciples went through on that boat. We easily see ourselves in it. That, Lord, you would guide our lives, that you've given us a destination, you've given us direction, you've given us a place to go, and you've given us the peace and the wisdom to get there, and so we trust you. Give us faith, Lord, faith that is stronger than fear, faith to follow you no matter what. Lord, faith that sees differently, and faith that sees us through. Father, that's our prayer. We pray for all our outlookers, wherever they are, and however they're feeling, and whatever they're facing, and whatever they're going through, that as a church family, we would all lean on you and take good care of each other, because, Lord Jesus, you have full authority to keep us calm and to give us peace and love. We give you that authority. We thank you for our church. Jesus, we love you, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen.